ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಾಯತಿ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ ಕೃಪಾತಂ ಅಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ದೀನತಾರಿಣ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯೈಶ್ವರಂ. ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವಿಧನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರಕ್ಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪ ಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿಕಂ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತೃಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಂ ಉದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತೇ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರ ಮರುತ ಸ್ತುವಂತಿ ದಿವ್ಯೇಸ್ತ್ವೇ ವೇದೇ ಸಂಗ ಪದ ಕ್ರಮ ಉಪನಿಷದೇ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಾಮಗ. ಧ್ಯಾನವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗತೇನ ಮನಸ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂತಂ ನ ವಿಧುಸುರ ಸುರಗಣಾ ದೇವಯಃ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ದೇವಯಃ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮಃ ಪಂಕಜ ನಾಭಾಯ ನಮಃ ಪಂಕಜ ಮಾಲಿನೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಕಜ ನೇತ್ರಾಯ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಪಂಕಜಾಂಗರೇ. ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಾಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಎವ್ರಿವನ್. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ರೂಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ಹೌ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ರಿಸೀವ್ಡ್ ಕಲಿ, ದ ಪನಿಷ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಿವಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ. So as Yudhishthira Maharaj along with all the other Pandavas, Draupadi, they left to the forest taking Vanaprastha. So they established Parikshit Maharaj as the ruling king. And Parikshit Maharaj ruled the kingdom as per the instructions of the Brahmanas and his elderly other ministers, seniors in the kingdom. And he ruled the kingdom as per the qualities which were foretold by the astrologers at the time of his birth. And we had discussed in length the qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. As Parikshit Maharaj was born, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the Brahmanas, please tell me what kind of qualities Parikshit will have, how he will rule during his time. So the Brahmanas, they told about the qualities of Parikshit Maharaj, that he will be a great leader, he will be shelter for all the people, he will have very saintly qualities, he will be Maryada Purushottam like Lord Ram, he will be a great protector giving charity like Maharaj Shibi. So his qualities were mentioned, and Maharaj Parikshit actually ruled as per those qualities. And when Parikshit was born, when he was in the womb of his mother Uttara, he was attacked by Brahmastra, shot by Ashwatthama. And in the womb of Uttara, Parikshit was saved by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna entered in the womb of Uttara, covering the embryo, he protected the baby. And as the child was born later, his name was given as Vishnurath, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu. And as he came out, as he was growing up, he was trying to find out who is that person whom I saw while I was in the womb of my mother. Right? So he was observing everybody, trying to find out who matches with that personality, the effulgent personality, four-handed form, who entered in my mother's womb to protect me. So because he was trying to observe everybody, examine everybody, his name was also given as Parikshit, who is examining everybody. So Parikshit Maharaj ruled with all those great qualities which were mentioned at the time of his birth. And the sages of Nemesharanya are asking this question to Suta Goswami, that what were the activities of Parikshit Maharaj. So Suta Goswami is describing one day as Parikshit Maharaj was going through various places. Wherever he went, he will hear the glorification of his ancestors, the Pandavas, that how they were always helped by Lord Krishna, how Lord Krishna became their messenger, their friend, their ultimate minister or guide, guiding them throughout their activities. And one day, Parikshit Maharaj, while roaming around, he saw one bull and a cow being harmed by a Shudra who was dressed like a king. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately challenged that person, and he wanted to punish that person. So Parikshit Maharaj punished him. So immediately the sages of Nemesharanya asked, why Parikshit Maharaj only simply punished him, not killed him? So their question was, why Parikshit Maharaj not killed Kali immediately? Why he just left him by punishing him? So the scene was, as Parikshit Maharaj was going, he saw one bull and cow being hurt by a Shudra, which is personality of Kali. He was dressed as a king. He was hitting on the legs of the bull and the cow. And as soon as Maharaj Parikshit saw him, he challenged that person and he punished him. So the question, so just draw the parallel here. So in Kali Yuga, when we see the cow being hurt, the bull being hurt, how much attention do we really pay? Even if in front of us somebody is harming the cow, is harming the bull, we will just pass by. We'll think, oh, it's none of my business. Right? That is very normalcy in these days. Somebody dragging the cow, hitting the cow, hurting the cow or the bull. It has become a very normal scene and people don't react much. But just imagine at that time, when Parikshit Maharaj saw that scene, he could not tolerate that. And his immediate reaction was, I'm going to kill this person who is harming the cow and the bull. And the sages of Naimisharanya are also asking the same question, why he did not kill? Because the punishment for harming the cow or the bull, that person does not deserve to live. That person should be given death sentence. So they are very surprised. How come Maharaj Parikshit, who understand the principle of religion, why he did not kill Kali? Why he just left him? So now Sutta Goswami, he moves his camera back a little bit, rewinds it further to describe the whole narrative, the whole pastime, little more in detail. So he starts with that Parikshit Maharaj, as he was ruling, he started seeing the symptoms of Kali Yuga start to prevail in his kingdom. And seeing the symptoms of Kali Yuga and praying, he prepared his army, he gathered his army, all the soldiers, and he went out to win over the whole world, basically to challenge who are not following the principles of religion. So he went out in the world, and wherever he went, people will glorify Parikshit Maharaj, that you belong to such a great family lineage, your fathers, forefathers were such great people, and Lord Krishna personally served your grandparents. Like the Arjuna and the Pandavas, Lord Krishna acted as just as a friend. Sometime even as a servant, he became as a chariot driver of Arjuna, your grandfather. So he will hear all these stories, and sometime people will do a whole play, a drama, depicting some of the pastimes of Maharaj Parikshit's grandparents. And Maharaj Parikshit will be very happy hearing about all these glorification of his ancestors. So it is actually something to be proud about, right? When you hear, for example, if you are going somewhere and somebody tell you, oh, you are the son of such and such person, he was such a great person, will you feel pride? Right? You will be, automatically you will feel happy about that. So Maharaj Parikshit was all the time hearing all these pastimes, all these stories. And as he was going around, and one day he saw one cow and bull. As he arrived at the banks of Saraswati, he saw one cow and bull standing. The cow is nothing but Mother Earth wandering in the form of cow, and the bull is nothing but Dharma himself. So bull and cow, they are talking to each other. So the bull has already lost his three legs. So bull is Dharma. So Dharma has lost his three legs. And the bull is talking to cow. Or basically what you say, Dharma is speaking to Mother Earth. And he is asking to Mother Earth, you seem to be very miserable. You seem to be under very anxiety, or you filled with grief. What are the reason of your suffering? Are you suffering because of some internal disease? See, if somebody is suffering, there could be many reasons. The first of reason is if somebody got some disease. The other reason he asked is, so first question was, are you suffering because of some kind of an internal disease, or are you suffering because of feeling separation from your near and dear ones who are in a distant place? So all of us being here in America, we came from India, so our parents, our relatives may be in India, and they may be feeling sometime distress, feeling separation right? Or we also sometimes may be feeling separation. So in that way, grief, feeling the grief because of the separation from our relatives. So are you feeling grief because of separation from your near and dear ones? Or are you suffering because I have lost my three legs and now I'm standing on one only? Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Are you in great anxiety because henceforward all the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Because that is describing the situation of the time to come, right? As the Kali Yuga progresses, people will be degraded and they will take to unrestricted meat eating, cow slaughtering. So are you anxious thinking of the time when people will exploit you, they will slaughter you? Are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of all sort of sacrifices? Nobody is performing any yagyas. Nobody is performing these sacrifices and offering the share to the demigods. In Treta Yuga, in Dwapara Yuga, there will be a system of performing yagya. Right? So they will be performing elaborate yagya and offering into the fire, giving as ahuti. It is giving the share to the various demigods. But in Kali Yuga, that whole system of performing yagya will be lost. So are you sorry because the demigods will not be offered any share in the sacrifices? Or are you grieving, thinking about the welfare of all the living entities who will be suffering because of natural calamities? There will be sometime drought, sometime famine. So sometime it's a lot of rain, sometime no rain. Sometime it's too hot, sometime too cold. So all these natural imbalance which will be causing so much suffering to the living entities. Now the general populace does not follow the rules and regulation of eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, etc. And they are inclined to perform all these activities anywhere or everywhere. Are you suffering or are you in grief because of thinking about that situation? See, there is a system of, there is four regulative principle or the regulation about eating, sleeping, mating, defending, which everybody does, even animals do that. But nowadays people think themselves to be too modern. They have no consideration for these activities. See, earlier we'll see dogs on street. They can eat on the street anywhere. They can mate with the female dog anywhere on the street. But now if the human beings take to those sort of activities, it's very shameful. Right? People have no consideration of the time, place, circumstance. Anywhere you will see people embracing, kissing and doing all those sort of nonsense things. So people will have no regulation. So are you suffering because of that situation? And then the bull, Dharma in the form of bull, he asks the question, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari incarnated himself as Lord Krishna to remove the burden. He unloaded the heavy burden on you and all his activities were transcendental and they cement the path of liberation. Because the Supreme Lord has departed to his own world, you are bereft of his association. Are you probably thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in his absence? So bull, he asked all these various questions to Mother Earth, thinking about, speculating about what could be the cause of Mother Earth's suffering. And Mother Earth told, of course these are all the valid reasons of her suffering in the times to come. And she said, yes, the Supreme Lord, he incarnated himself to remove the burden on my face. And as the Lord was roaming around on my surface, I was feeling so much ecstasy, feeling the touch of his feet on my head and all this grass growing on my surface. I will feel like the hair standing on my body in ecstasy. So now Lord Krishna has winded up his Leela and he has departed to his world. I am feeling separation from the Supreme Lord. And that is why I am feeling this grief. So as bull and earth, Dharma and earth are speaking in that way, Parikshit Maharaj arrived at the bank of Saraswati. And Parikshit Maharaj is no ordinary person, right? He was able to see Lord Krishna face to face while in the womb of his mother. So he has got special vision. And because of his Divya Drishti, Parikshit Maharaj was able to see this bull and cow, and he saw the personality of Kali dressed up as king beating with his gada onto the legs of this bull and cow. And as he saw that, he immediately challenged Kali. Kastvam machrane loke baladham saya balan bali nardevo asi veshen natvatah karmana dvijah. Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong and yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless. You are dressed like a king but acting like Shudra. So Maharaj Parikshit immediately spoke. He took out his sword and ran towards that scene, challenging that personality. Kastvam matcharane loke, who are you? He says, abe kaun hai tu? जो निर्बल लोग मेरी शरण में हैं, तुम अपने बलपूर्वक उनके ऊपर अत्याचार कर रहे हो, हो कौन? वेशभूषा से तो तुम लग रहे हो कि राजा की तरह हो, पर तुम्हारे व्यवहार से ऐसा लग रहा है कि तुम जैसे भांड होता है नाटक में, कुछ ड्रेसअप करके आता है, भांड की तरह तुमने राजा का वेश बनाया है, शूद्र हो शूद्र पर राजा के जैसा व्यवहार कर रहे हो, जो मेरी शरण में निर्बल लोग हैं उनके ऊपर तुम अत्याचार कर रहे हो. सो एज महाराज परीक्षित टुक आउट हिज स्वॉर्ड एंड चैलेंज दिस पर्सनैलिटी, ही इमीडिएटली फेल डाउन एट द फीट ऑफ परीक्षित महाराज. एंड परीक्षित महाराज एड्रेस द बुल एंड द काउ. So before harming or before punishing this person who is hitting the legs of the cow and the bull, he addressed the bull and cow and asked them, who are you and who is this person harming you? You do not need fear. I will punish this miscreant. Please tell me what is the cause of your distress. So as if Parikshit Maharaj is running a trial in the court and asking the victim, please testify, who is the source of your misery? So who has cut your three legs? So as the bull, Dharma in the form of bull, heard Parikshit Maharaj asking this question, Dharma spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. He said, we cannot for certain speak about who is the cause of our suffering. We have heard so many different philosophies and I am doubtful who is the real source of our misery. People have given different philosophies. Some people say one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. That whatever comes to us, a happy situation or a distressed situation, we ourselves are responsible for that. And some other people say there are superhuman power who are responsible for our happiness and distress. Right? Some people will say, oh, you yourself are responsible. Whatever you did, because of that karma, you are getting the reaction. And some people will say, oh, everybody is forced upon you by the Devi Devatas, by the Supreme Lord. And while another says that our karma is responsible, our activity is responsible, there is nobody else higher than karma. Karma is all in all. So that is like karma mimamsa philosophy. Some people think karma is all in all. And they will even go to the extent saying there is no need of God. There is no God in picture. See, if you do good, you will get good result. If you do bad, you get bad result. So ultimately it's your karma only. So where is God in picture? He has just created this system and it's everything happening based on karma philosophy. And he is also bound by the law of karma. And the gross materialists say the material nature or our intrinsic nature is the ultimate cause. Sabhava. So we have heard all these various philosophies, so we don't know who is the real cause of our distress. And we do not want to blame on somebody who is the cause of our suffering, because putting the excuse on somebody also brings the same kind of reaction what that sinful person will get. Because putting the blame on somebody, the person himself will also get that reaction. So we are now completely doubtful what is right and wrong. You yourself ascertain for certain like what is the cause of suffering. And Parikshit Maharaj is giving the surety, you don't need to fear. I will give them due punishment. And Dharma in the form of bull may be thinking, okay, you are saying I will punish them. If that person who is the cause of this distress, if he is weaker than you, then you can punish him. But if the person turns out to be stronger than you, what will you do? Right? So that is a sometimes state, right? When somebody is powerful than you, then what will you do? But Parikshit Maharaj is saying, do not worry. No matter, even if it's some sort of Devi Devata, some heavenly personalities, I will not spare them. I will give them due punishment. And when Dharma spoke in all these philosophical way, Parikshit Maharaj was able to see with his Divya Drishti that you are not just an ordinary bull. You are Dharma himself. Nobody else than Dharma could speak like this. So then he spoke to Dharma that your four legs represent tapah shocham daya satyam iti padha krite krita adharma amshe trayo bhagna samay sangha madestavah. So earlier you had four legs which were intact, and these four legs were established by the principle of tapah shocham daya satyam. Tapa means austerity, shocham means cleanliness, daya, mercy, and satyam, truthfulness. So dharma has four pillars. Dharma is standing on four pillars. The principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And if we want to maintain dharma in our life, we need to maintain these four pillars of dharma in our life. Following, observing austerity, following the principles of cleanliness, external cleanliness and internal cleanliness. Observing the principle of mercy and observing the principle of truthfulness. And as Kali Yuga progresses, there are activity which destroy these pillars of religion. And what are the activity which destroy these pillars of religion? What activity destroy austerity? Intoxication. See, अगर आप लोगों को सुबह 4 बजे उठना है, 5 बजे उठना है, साधना करनी है, so you have to observe some sort of austerity. But if somebody is intoxicated, going to bed at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, will he be able to get up in the morning and do austerity? So if somebody indulging in intoxication, it destroys the principle of austerity. And what destroys cleanliness? So of course, cleanliness means observing external cleanliness, and more important is internal cleanliness. And the illicit relation, it destroys the principle of shocham. Daya, mercy. What destroy mercy? Meat eating, animal slaughter, that destroys the principle of mercy. See, people speak so much about peace, right? We want peace in the world, but then they have a dead animal on their plate. So the principle of this non-vegetarian, the animal slaughter, it destroyed completely the principle of mercy. We don't have any mercy left. Earlier people were engaging in the principle of sacrifice, animal sacrificing on the name of yajna, karma kanda philosophy, thinking it's mentioned in Vedas. So they wrongly took to this whole animal slaughter concept. And now there is completely whimsical idea of animal slaughter for the sake of the taste of tongue. So to satisfy this 6-inch long tongue, one is not hesitant to kill a 6-foot animal. So this principle of animal slaughter, it destroys completely the principle of mercy. We may be speaking about peace in the world, but unless there is no stopping to the animal slaughtering, animal killing, the world cannot have any peace. And Prabhupada mentioned so many times, until there is the blood of cow falling on this face of earth, there cannot be peace. And satyam, truthfulness, what destroys truthfulness? Gambling, the speculative business enterprise, it destroys the principle of truthfulness. Jua, agar koi jua khel raha hai, sach bolega wo, right? People take to telling lies to make money, and all these sort of speculative business, the share market and all these things, this is also a sort of gambling. So these are the earlier principle on which dharma is established. These are the four pillars of dharma: austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. So earlier you were standing, all your four legs were intact, but now adharma amshe trayo bhagna, as the adharma, irreligion has spread, the three legs have been broken. And what is the reason of your three legs being gone? Samaya sanga madestavaha. The pride, overly association of women, and intoxication. These have destroyed the three legs. The pride, when somebody is filled with pride, they do not have the principle of mercy left in their heart, right? They will like to do whatever they want to satisfy their own whims. So the principle, because of the so much pride in heart, they don't have mercy, some sort of compassion left for others. And sangha, when people are associating with women in as illicit relation, that destroy the principle of cleanliness. Made, indulging in intoxication, that destroy austerity. So in that way the three legs have been broken. And then now you are standing only on one leg, which is your truthfulness. So people who observe these principles of dharma, they become automatically qualified to attain to swarga. Right? But now people have no proper education, no proper guidance. People don't look into the scriptures, they don't turn towards scripture, turn towards the spiritual authority. Everybody want to do whatever they like, and people have on their t-shirts, just do it. Right? That is a whimsical idea, just do it. There is no need of taking any guidance from somebody, just do as you like. There is no discrimination left. So earlier, if people are able to observe these principles, they become qualified to attain swarga. But now people are willing to go to narka voluntarily. See, if you want to go to swarga, what do you have to do?
Observe the pillars of dharma.
Observe the pillars of dharma, eat nice food stuff, vegetarian meal. maintain your proper household life, no illicit relation, just be happy in your family. Now people don't want to eat vegetarian food. They feel pride in eating non-vegetarian food. Right? We are modern. On the name of modern, being bold, they think, oh, I don't consider anything. All these principles. This is
outdated.
And then people don't want to drink juice. People say, "Bachche, doodh to bachche peete hain. Hum to whiskey piyenge, rum piyenge, vodka piyenge," right? All people want to go to these bars and everything. See, milk is the most nutrition food. If somebody take only milk, one can sustain himself. But now people think, oh, milk? We don't want to drink milk. Milk is for kids. Baby food only. And they are paving their path for hell, engaging in all these nonsense activities. And government is helping people go to hell. Earlier, the administrator will enforce the religious principle on public, that their citizens should abide by the religious principle. At the time, as we were discussing earlier also, at the time of Yudhishthira Maharaj also, everybody will be observing Ekadashi. Somebody not observing Ekadashi was something unheard of. And that time everybody will be doing Nirjala Ekadashi. Every Ekadashi, Nirjala Ekadashi. Right? So they will make sure their citizen follow the principles of religion. Now, does the government consider any of these things? And they are helping people take to the irreligious activities, sinful activities. So what are the sinful activities? Intoxication, meat eating, illicit relation. And government is facilitating all these activities now. Right? There will be government authorized liquor shops, government authorized lottery system, the gambling system, government authorized slaughterhouses. So everything is being authorized by government. So to say, as government is paving the path of hell for everybody. Not in one particular country, everywhere throughout the world, same thing is happening. So the administrators are not guided by the religious principle. And they are ready to exploit people and harm them in their long-term well-being. See, when Parikshit Maharaj was traveling, so Parikshit Maharaj is the ruling king for the whole world practically. And as he is traveling throughout the world, everybody is glorifying. They are receiving Parikshit Maharaj nicely, they are glorifying him, speaking the glories of his forefathers. In today's world, if a politician go out on some kind of a rally, how many people really come out to receive them, glorify them? Right? There are people who will come and throw the shoes at the politician. They will come to blaspheme at the politician because nobody is happy with their ruling. So here Parikshit Maharaj is talking to Dharma that now three of your legs have been broken and you are standing on one leg, and that leg is truthfulness, and you are hobbling along on that one leg. But this Kali is trying to destroy your that one leftover leg also. And how is it trying to destroy that one leg? So this squirrel personified Kali, he is flourishing by deceit, is trying to destroy your fourth leg also. Among all the four religious principles, to some extent, the leftover principle is truthfulness. And as the Kali Yuga is progressing more and more, that principle is also vanishing rapidly. So even if you speak about 50 years back, 100 years back, people had that concept of speaking truth. They will be truthful. And especially 5,000 years back, before this Kali Yuga entered, people will abide by their words. There was no need of putting the statement in writing. Right? People will give their word and they will try to live up to their words. And people will say, "Maine vachan de diya, I will fulfill my words." And so there was no need of courts. There was only some village panchayats, and all people will go there and they will just make mutual agreement. But now the situation has so degraded, even if it is put in writing, signed by two witnesses, people will not follow that. And words, following their words is, nobody will follow that. People will just speak lie on the face. अगर किसी को बोलो आपने ऐसा बोला था कल, तो मुझे, मैंने कब ऐसा बोला था? Hey, you are lying, but when did I tell that? तो लोग साफ ही मुकर जाएंगे. This is very common, right? So people everywhere are taking to this speaking lies. कुछ लोग बोलेंगे मैं मंदिर में खड़ा हूं भगवान के सामने झूठ नहीं बोलूंगा. बोले अच्छा मंदिर से बाहर आके झूठ बोल दोगे? So people take to different degrees of breaking all these religious principles. And as Parikshit Maharaj, speaking to this bull and cow, after he gave his verdict, "Do not fear, I will punish this person who is trying to harm you." And he took out his sword and charged at this personality of Kali. He immediately fell down at the feet of Parikshit Maharaj. He gave up his robe of royal dress. He was dressed up as a king. So he gave up his royal dress and fell down at the feet of Parikshit Maharaj, asking for Abhaydan. "But please excuse me. Please do not kill me." And at that time, when he took shelter of Parikshit Maharaj, being a Kshatriya, Parikshit Maharaj had the duty to give shelter. Whoever comes under your shelter, he has to give shelter. That is one of the Kshatriya Dharma. So Parikshit Maharaj said, "If I am not killing you, I will give you some punishment for sure. You cannot live in my kingdom and spread your irreligious principles. So you have to get out of my kingdom." And Kali said, "Where will I go? This whole world is ruled by you. Where will I find any shelter? Please give me some place to stay." So Suta Goswami is answering the question of all the sages of Naimisharanya when they ask why Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Kali, why he simply left him by punishing him. So Suta Goswami is describing, because the Kali, he fell at the feet of Parikshit Maharaj, took shelter, that's why he did not kill him. And what kind of punishment he was given? That you cannot live freely in this kingdom. So as Kali asked for some places of residence, "Abhyarthistadatasmai sthanani kalai dado dyutam panam striyasuna yatra dharma chaturvidaha." So Maharaj Parikshit allowed him 4 places of residence. As he took shelter of Parikshit Maharaj, he gave him abhay, not killing him, but he restricted his stay for these particular 4 places. So what are these 4 places where Kali was allowed? Dyutam panam striya suna. Dyutam, where there is gambling. So where people are engaging in the gambling activities, Dyuta, Kali resides in that place. What is the next stage? Panam. Panam means drinking, intoxication, where like all these bars and pubs, or even at home when people are drinking, that is the residence of Kali. Striya, where the women give up their istri dharma or
chastity.
And they engage in the sinful activities, the prostitution activities, that is the place of residence for Kali. And the 4th place is Suna, animal slaughter, where the animals are being slaughtered, that is the residence of Kali. So if we want to avoid the influence of Kali in our life, one need to stay away from these four places or this engaging in these four activities: gambling, intoxication, meat eating, slaughtering animals, and the illicit relation out of the legal wedding life. So earlier people were following all these principles, and in Maharaj Parikshit's rule, everybody is following all those principles, nobody is engaging in these activities, but slowly, slowly this influence of Kali started entering, and Parikshit is curbing the existence of Kali freely, and he restricted the four places where Kali can stay. Now to speak about this particular, the illicit relation, right? So earlier nobody is engaging in all those activities, the freely mixing of the women and men. Now what to speak of freely mixing of women and men? The Kali Yuga situation is so much degraded, and the government is helping in all that, passing out all sort of laws, the gay marriages, right, the man to man relation, all those sort of, this is like Kali Yuga is reaching its extreme, the charam seema pe paanch gaya. So that is the situation happening in Kali Yuga. So those were the four places given originally, and Kali said, in your kingdom, where will I find all these places? All the people are abiding by the religious principle. I will not find any place of residence if these are the only four places. Please give me some more freedom. Give me some more place to stay. And when Parikshit Maharaj was asked by Kali for one more place to stay, Punashcha yachmanaya jata rupam adhat prabhu tato anartam madham kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. So the personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where is gold. Jata rupam adhat prabhu. So Parikshit Maharaj allowed him one more place as gold. So here the word uses jatarupam, which translates as gold. So at that time the currency is basically as gold, right? Everybody is using as the gold as the currency of exchange, the gold coins. Now as the time has progressed, the currency has changed its shape and form. Earlier it came the coins made of silver, then it came bronze. Now it's paper currency, right? Nobody can even imagine of using gold. Even if somebody is wearing gold, there is always risk of being attacked by somebody. People snatch away from their ears and neck. That is the situation. And people are wearing or forced to wear artificial jewelry. How many people are really wearing gold? But that time Parikshit Maharaj gave him one more concession to stay in gold, or to say where there is excess wealth, excess money, or the money accumulated by the wrong occupation. Do number ka dhanda, usse jo paisa kamaya ja raha hai, that is the residence of Kali. And why Parikshit Maharaj gave this place, the fifth place, as gold? Because wherever there is excess wealth, all the other sinful activities, it becomes very easy to engage, or very natural for people to engage in the sinful activities. When there is excess wealth, or the wealth accumulated by the wrong occupation, wrong business. And what kind of activities? What does this excess wealth brings as danger? Tato nirtam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. So there are five faults Parikshit Maharaj is telling. Where there is excess gold, excess wealth, do number ke dhande se jo paisa aa raha hai, उसके अंदर पांच दोष हैं. एंड व्हाट आर दोस? मदम, फॉल्सिटी, कामम, इंटॉक्सिकेशन, रजो, लस्ट, वैरम, एनवी. सो दीज आर द फाइव फॉल्ट्स विच आर इनहेरिटेड विद एक्सेस वेल्थ. सो इफ वी सी इन दिस वर्ल्ड, इफ समबडी हैज लॉट ऑफ मनी, somebody is freaking rich, as they say, what kind of activities they engage in, and what kind of their children are naturally spoiled to engage in all these sort of activities, right? They are spoiled to engage in intoxication, gambling, the unrestricted relationships, pride, envy, greed, all these things increase more and more, and there is naturally the line, falsity, comes into picture. Sometimes we see in the movies this show that a group of people, they came to know about some hidden wealth or a hidden treasure at some place, at some island or some place. They hear there is a hidden treasure there, and then everybody has a competition who will reach there first to get that treasure. Now, do they say that these people will cooperate with each other? Let's just go find out the wealth and we'll use that wealth for the welfare activity. What is their ultimate agenda? Everybody is in race to find that treasure. And one person will lie to another person. He will not tell him where the wealth is actually. What is the location of that treasure? And if they, in the rush of getting to that place, they will try to harm other person, kill other person, so that he cannot reach there, I will reach there and I will get that wealth. So that enmity automatically comes. That envy automatically comes. So the people who have excess wealth, they are prone to committing all these sort of sinful activities. So Parikshit Maharaj gave this fifth place of residence. And after Kali Yuga was punished in that way, his activity was limited. Parikshit Maharaj left that place, came back to his palace, and sometimes people say that as soon as Parikshit Maharaj gave him this fifth place, that you can stay in gold, Kali Yuga immediately entered into the crown of Parikshit Maharaj. It's an illegitimate occupation mainly, that when people have accumulated so much wealth with the illegitimate occupation, do number ka dhanda jisko hum bolte hain. So that is the root cause of all the sinful activities. But in general also, when somebody have excess wealth and they are not utilizing that wealth in a proper way, that lead to engaging in all sinful activities. Right, so one should be very careful how we utilize the wealth, and that wealth actually is arranged by Krishna in our life. It's not that I have accumulated or I have earned this wealth. I am the proprietor and the enjoyer of this wealth. Who has given us the strength and intelligence to work hard to earn that money? So ultimately it's Krishna's gift in our life. So sometimes the point I was mentioning here now, sometimes people claim as soon as Parikshit Maharaj gave that place of residence as gold, that they say Kali Yuga entered into the crown of Parikshit Maharaj because he is wearing the gold crown, right? Sone ka mukut pehna hai Parikshit Maharaj ne. So Kali Yuga unke sar pe us mukut ke andar chup kar baith gaya. And that was the reason Parikshit Maharaj committed that wrong activity of putting the snake into the neck of Samyak Rishi. So that pastime will come. But our Acharya explained that Kali Yuga cannot dare enter into Parikshit Maharaj's crown. And it's not that Parikshit Maharaj is influenced by Kali Yuga, that's why he committed this. Parikshit Maharaj, so the pastime goes like, as Parikshit Maharaj came back and one day he was gone to the forest for hunting purpose, and he was under the influence of so much thirst. He was feeling thirsty, and he saw this hermitage of Samyak Rishi, a great saint, his ashram. So he entered into Samyak Rishi's ashram to get some water. And as he entered into the hermitage, Samyak Rishi, he was engaged in his meditation. He was absorbed in meditation, closing his eyes. He did not pay attention of Maharaj Parikshit coming there. And he did not receive Parikshit Maharaj with due respect. So at that time, even though the king will come to the saint's palace or saint's hermitage, the saint will offer them due respect. So here Samyak Rishi, he was absorbed in his meditation. He did not notice Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj was tormented by this thirst. And he thought, this sage, he is pretending to be absorbed in meditation, not receiving me properly. So Parikshit Maharaj got angry at that time. And he picked up a snake, a dead snake lying there, and put that snake as a garland in Samyak Rishi's neck. So people say this action of Parikshit Maharaj was influenced by Kali entering into Parikshit Maharaj's crown. But Acharyas explain, it is not the influence of Kali, that Kali entered into Parikshit Maharaj's crown, that's why he did this. But actually this activity is guided, or this is what happened as the providence of will, as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that Parikshit Maharaj committed that activity, because the Kali Yuga has already entered, it's a time for Kali Yuga to spread, and the Lord has arrangement to bring up this Srimad Bhagavatam, making Parikshit Maharaj as an instrument. So that was the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, because if it was the influence of Kali, then Parikshit Maharaj had continued to do such activities. So Parikshit Maharaj, under the influence of tormented by thirst, he was angered by the action of Samyak Rishi not receiving him. So garlanded him with this snake, dead snake, and came out of the hermitage. And he went back to his palace, and after he has left, some of the friends of Samyak Rishi's son, so Samyak Rishi's son is Sringi Rishi, he was playing at little distance from the hermitage. So some of his Brahmana friends, they came and gave the news to Sringi Rishi that one king came to your father's hermitage and he put a dead snake around his neck. So when Sringi Rishi heard this, he became very angry, not thinking anything, not considering what has actually happened. He said, how dare this king do this activity or this action towards my father, offend my father like this? What does he think of himself? The king is under the protection of the Brahmana. He is like a watchdog who is supposed to protect the Brahmanas. But he is acting like this. I am going to curse him. Because Brahmanas are very powerful. And this Sringi Rishi, who is just a small child, or just a, basically not mature enough to consider what is right and wrong. So he cursed that Parikshit Maharaj will die in 7 days, being bitten by a snake bird, Takshak. So Sringi Rishi cursed Parikshit Maharaj like that. And after that, he came to his father's hermitage, where Samyak Rishi was. And he started crying. So Samyak Rishi came out of his meditation. He asked Sringi Rishi, why are you crying? What is the matter? Then he said, this king, he Parikshit Maharaj, he came into the hermitage and he garlanded you with this dead snake. He put a dead snake around your neck. So Samyak Rishi look at his neck and he threw out that snake. So he said, okay, this is not a big matter. And then Sringi Rishi told that I have cursed the king to die in 7 days, being bitten by this Takshak. So Samyak Rishi was very sorry hearing this news. He did not appreciate the activity of his son. He said, you are immature and you have cursed the king. That activity, your activity is wrong. So Parikshit Maharaj, he has done something wrong, but his activity was not to that extent that he is supposed to be cursed to die in 7 days. He is such a religious king, following the religious principle, upholding the religious principle. This is your doing which is wrong, that what you have done. So Samyak Rishi did not appreciate his own son's activity. So actually the Kali, he worked his way out through this Brahmana child, Sringi Rishi, and that became the cause of whole downfall of the Brahmana race, that they will lose their power in Kali Yuga, because they have, out of immaturity, used his powers, cursing the king to die. So after that, Samyak Rishi sent his messenger to the king to inform the king what has happened, that you have been cursed to die in 7 days. So as the messenger came to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj heard this news and he was not bewildered at all. He did not think that, oh, let me make arrangement to counter this curse. Let me make arrangement to prolong my life, or I will challenge that Brahmana, or I will destroy that Brahmana. He did not become angry at that action. So if Parikshit Maharaj's first action was influenced by Kali, then Parikshit Maharaj now also could have acted under the influence of Kali after hearing the news of his curse. So before this news came, Parikshit Maharaj was already repenting on his action. As he was coming back, he was already repenting. What did I do? Why I did that? That I have put a snake around the sage's neck. This action was not right. I should get some sort of punishment. Maybe there is something going to happen soon as the punishment for my action. So he was already preparing himself to get some sort of reaction. And as he heard this news, he completely renounced everything. He did not say, oh, I have such military army, military strength and all, and I will fight. Let that Takshaka snake bird come and we will destroy that. I will make better weapon to fight against that Takshaka. Or he did not challenge the Lord, that why with me? Why I have been cursed to die in 7 days? That you protected me when I was in the womb of my mother, that you protect me now also. Why you are allowing me to die now in 7 days? So he did not ask the Lord for further protection. He was thinking, whatever is Lord's plan, whatever is Lord's desire, let it happen. If I am supposed to die, let the death come right now. So he renounced everything and retired to Ganges. Now just pause here for 1 minute and imagine the situation. Parikshit Maharaj got this news of curse to die in 7 days. How does that relate to people in current world? So Parikshit Maharaj has the news of the curse of Brahmana boy to die in 7 days. For us, that can come in the form of report of doctor. You have 6 months left, prepare yourself. Right? So you go to doctor's office and doctor do some examination and something may come up. Oh, you got this particular thing, that particular thing, you have 6 months left, prepare yourself. But at that time, are we able to renounce everything? Or what is our mindset? We want to prolong our life. Oh, let me do some way, something to prolong my life. There was one person, Prabhupada used to mention this. So the person is about to die and he is pleading with the doctors, please extend my life 2 more years. I have not fulfilled everything, all my desires. I have not made all the arrangement for my children and grandchildren. Please extend my life for 2 more years. I want to finish these activities. Death does not wait and death does not come with a notice period. Parikshit Maharaj got the notice of 7 days. For us, death may come without any notice. We may not even get a notice of 7 seconds, what to speak of 7 days. But are we preparing ourselves for that time, for that situation? So Parikshit Maharaj renounced everything, went to the banks of Ganges. And at that time, all the sages assembled there. All the great, great sages, whatever name you can imagine, whatever name you can think of. From all the different planetary system, all these sages assembled there. And Parikshit Maharaj's question was, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Right? What that person should do? So first of all, why did Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Kali and just punished him? Because Parikshit Maharaj saw that Kali Yuga has all sort of bad qualities in it. But he was able to see the good quality in Kali also. And what was the good quality? So Suta Goswami is describing this to all the sages there. Na anudveshti kalim samrata sarangam eva sarabhuk kushlanaya ashu siddhyanti natara atarani kritaniyat. Maharaj Parikshit was a realist. He was like a bumblebee who only accepts the essence of the flower. Sarangam eva sarabhuk. He is like a saranga, bumblebee. Bumblebee goes to flower and extract the nectar out of the flower. Extract the essence of the flower. So Parikshit Maharaj is sargrahi. Right? He is able to churn out the essence. And he was able to look into Kali one good quality also. But even though Kali Yuga has all the bad qualities, but he has some good quality also. And what is the good quality which Parikshit Maharaj was able to see? That's why that was the another reason, main reason why Parikshit Maharaj did not kill Kali and let it go by restricting his places of stay. So in Kali Yuga, there are two good things actually. So in Kali Yuga, if somebody even thinks of something doing good, he gets the result of that. Just thinking of doing good, even though he did not do, but just thought of doing good, he gets the reward of that. And if somebody is just thinking at the mind level only, somebody is thinking of doing something wrong, but did not put it into action, did not commit that, he does not get the reaction. But in Satya Yuga, if somebody even thought of doing something wrong, did not commit that, just thought, at the level of thought, committed some action, he gets the reaction. So if somebody thought of doing something wrong, he will get reaction. And in Satya Yuga, to get some actual reaction of good activity, he has to actually do it. But in Kali Yuga, there is concession, or the benediction of Kali Yuga is, just thinking of doing good, one get the result. So if you get up in the morning, just think, today I am donating 1,000 cows to the Brahmanas. Just thinking like that, you get the result of donating 1,000 cows. If you're thinking today morning you get up, or tomorrow morning you get up and you think, today I take a pledge, I will feed 100 Brahmanas. Even though you did not do that action, but just thought of serving the Brahmanas, serving the Vaishnavas, donating, you get the result. So tomorrow onwards, at least make that consciousness. So think, tomorrow morning I'm going to build a nice beautiful temple for Radha Krishna. $5 million temple. Just thinking that, you can get the result. But problem nowadays is, even thinking of doing good is also very difficult. Right? People are not even able to think of doing good. So one should practice, at least, to think of doing good. So if you are thinking, at least one day you will be able to do also. If every day you start thinking, I'm giving $100 charity to the temple, $100 donation to the temple, maybe someday you will get the desire to actually give also. So in Kali Yuga, one gets the result of thinking of doing good. And earlier, if somebody at the level of thought committed some sinful activity, he will get the reaction. If in thought somebody criticized Vaishnavas, he will get the punishment reaction. In Kali Yuga, one has that sanction. One does not get the reaction until the action has been done. But one should be very careful. We should be very careful committing Vaishnava Prag, thinking, oh, Kali Yuga, it's okay. At the level of mind, I can criticize others, I can think ill of others. Because if we are thinking of doing something wrong, one day it may come out in our action. Right? So one should not even try to do something wrong in your thoughts also. The other benediction of Kali Yuga, the great quality of Kali Yuga. So even though Kali Yuga is possessed with all bad qualities, one of the good quality of Kali Yuga is Kaler doshe nidhe rajan astai eka mahan guna kirtanadev krishnasya mukta sanga pramrajet. Kali Yuga is the ocean of faults, but still there is one good quality. Kirtanadev krishnasya mukta sanga. If somebody engages in chanting the name of Krishna, he can become free from all the ill vices, all the vices of Kali Yuga, all the bad influences of Kali Yuga. Mukta Sangha. And what will happen after becoming free? See, if somebody is in a prison house, and if he is released from the prison house after fulfilling his sentence, he comes out of the prison house, but there is nobody to receive that person, will he be happy? So the person is thinking, even if I come out of the prison house, there is nobody who is liking me anymore, there is nobody who is welcoming me anymore, what is the point of coming out? Better I will stay here in the prison house only. So Mukta Sangha, after becoming free from the influences of Kali Yuga, Param Vrajait, he will attain to the Param destination, the supreme destination, go back to the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha Dham, he will become eligible to go there. So that is the benediction of Kali Yuga. That is one of the good qualities of Kali Yuga. In other yugas, one has to perform thousands of years of meditation, elaborate yajnas, elaborate temple deity worship. Then one gets the result. In Kali Yuga, the process of self-realization is very simple. Chanting the holy name. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. In Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name is the only way, the only way, the only way. So basically, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Kali Yuga Kevala Nama Adhara, Sumir Sumir Uttare Narapar. In Kali Yuga, the person taking shelter of the holy name can cross beyond this material existence. So Kali Yuga Keval Naam Adhar. So that is the benediction of Kali Yuga. And Parikshit Maharaj, being Sargrahi, he was able to extract that essence of Kali Yuga. That people, even though doing something little, they will be able to get the maximum possible result out of that. So as Parikshit Maharaj retired to the banks of Ganges, all the sages assembled there, and Parikshit Maharaj's question is, what is the duty of person who is about to die? What is the most welfare activity one should engage, and especially the person who is about to die? And at that time, Shukdev Goswami arrived on the scene, and he is welcomed by all the sages assembled. Shukdev Goswami is given the highest seat, given the highest honor, and then Shukdev Goswami starts speaking, answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. So we'll continue from here next onwards. what Parikshit Maharaj was asking the question and how Sukhdev Goswami spoke as answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question. So when we hear all these narratives, all these pastimes, we should try to get the essence of these. Right? What are the principles told in these pastimes? It's not that we come to satsang program, we hear the stories, we hear some jokes also in between. We laugh, we clap, and then we just go home. Forget everything. So we should try to extract the essence of all this. What is the principles behind to implement in our life on a day-to-day basis and how we can make our life successful. Otherwise, all these things become of no use. Basically, there is no... It's become useless. It's like a child. So once the child is having some disease and the mother takes to the doctor, doctor gives the medicine, but the child is very reluctant to take the medicine. Right? So as soon as the mother will give the medicine, child will throw away the medicine. And the doctor told, he is not eating the medicine, so maybe put the medicine inside something, some tasty thing which he likes to eat, maybe some sweet, some rasgulla or something. So put the medicine, the pill inside the rasgulla and give him to eat, so he will eat in that way. So the mother came home, put the pill inside the rasgulla. So the child took the rasgulla, he ate the rasgulla. Mother asked, did you eat everything? Yeah, I ate everything, but inside there was some hard object, I threw that out. Right, so he ate the sweet but threw the essence out, which was going to cure him. So we try to make these pastimes, all these narratives of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, pack in some stories. Sometimes we put some jokes also. But if we extract, we throw out the principles behind those and just hear the stories, hear those jokes and go home, and don't implement those principles in our life, then it becomes useless. So we should take to the principles and implement those in our lives on a day-to-day basis, not just as a, okay, I will do it when I feel like, once in a while. We keep stressing on chanting, right? Chant the holy name. Please chant every day, chant on regular basis. But we are throwing out that essence. Kali Yuga Keval Nama Adhara. We think, no, there is other Adhara also. There are other shelters also. So please, take to this process of Krishna consciousness, which is the only way of making our lives successful. So I will stop here. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai,
Sri Vindranath Prabhu ki
jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If anybody has any question or comment. Yes, Prabhu.
So positive thoughts can develop into spiritual merit.
Positive thoughts. So we have to see what kind of positive thoughts, right? Here we are talking about positive thoughts about spiritual activities. Not just positive thoughts about, okay, being good with others, right? People say, okay, live and let live, right? Be good and let others live. That's people take to that principle. But here we are talking about the higher principle, which is at the level of dharma. At the level of spirituality, charity, austerity. So positive thinking from those terms. So thinking of, okay, I'm going to observe Ekadashi. Right? So just having that thought also, it start person on that journey. So today if somebody is just thinking, okay, I want to observe Ekadashi, one day he will be able to come to that level of observing Ekadashi. Just thinking of, I'm planning to give charity to the temple, charity to the brahmanas. So one day it will turn out into action also. So developing our thoughts for those spiritual activities. And avoiding the negative thoughts, because negative thoughts will put in action also someday. If we keep thinking about harming somebody, one day it will come out in our action. That is the biggest problem these days actually. Because people are watching all these nonsense things. There is on the TV, there is so much of violence shown. There is so much of illicit relations shown. When people are filled with all that garbage, their sanskara become like that. And they come out in the action. Right? And people do those things in their action, in their lives.
Thinking about negative, doesn't heart become dirty too?
Yeah, of course. So, as we keep thinking about the negativity or the negative things or harming others, so our heart is becoming polluted. Right? And in the heart, we want to place Radha Krishna. We want to have Radha Kunj Bihari stay in our heart. But Lord is not going to stay in the dirty heart. We are supposed to cleanse our heart. But rather than cleansing the heart, we are polluting the heart with all those negative, envious thoughts.
So indirectly, Kali is making that effect.
Right. So, the Kali Yuga's influence, what are the influences of Kali Yuga? Envy, hatred, pride, deceit. Those are all the activities influenced by Kali. And if we want to stay away from the influence of Kali, we need to be very cautious about what activities we engage in. And when we take shelter of holy name, when we come to the association of devotees, we are able to protect against the hurts of Kali Yuga, the tortures of Kali Yuga. And the biggest influence of Kali Yuga is lethargy also, alasya. Right? People are becoming more and more lazy, dull. They don't want to engage in any activity. Ask somebody, come for a spiritual program, oh, I'm too busy. People are becoming couch potatoes. Right? They will just sit in their sofas, watch TV 2 hours, eat potato chips. So eating potato chips, watching TV, sitting on their sofas, they're becoming couch potatoes.
I have a question. The effect of Kali on Parikshit Maharaj, so because that was just a starting point, it is possible that it would have taken some time to fully affect Parikshit Maharaj. So when these incidents happened, like, you know, when he put the snake on Samik Rishi, it is possible that it just affected, you know, that is when it affected him, and still he had some goodness in him, but when he heard the news of this, getting died in 7 days, still he was, you know, the good part of him, the good part of his was still with him. He was not unaffected.
So we can do any sort of speculation, right?
Yes.
That, oh, Kali affected only that part. But
yes.
Why Kali could affect that part? Kali could have affected in many other parts. So why to speculate in that way?
Because you said, okay, he would have continued to do lot of other bad things as well. Right?
Not bad things. So he may have resisted the curse also under the influence of Kali, because the influence of Kali is becoming enmity, showing the enmity.
Right.
So he could have shown that effect also.
So that was maybe Kali had not fully affected him.
But why not to go with the verdicts of acharyas?
Because he being such a righteous king.
Right.
And normally what happens, kings, how great they may be, normally they fall in the feet of the rishis. Because we have seen, like, you know, Dasarath Maharaj, even like Lord, when he meets Vashishtha
Rishi
or, you know, Vishwamitra Rishi,
right.
he will fall in their feet. So he being such a righteous king, and just getting angry because he was not received properly, that doesn't seem like right.
Right, so what Acharya has explained, that is the arrangement of the Lord for something to happen in that way, so that through Parikshit Maharaj, this Bhagavatam could come in this world. So Parikshit, to bring renunciation in Parikshit Maharaj, so he will renounce everything, and using him as a medium, this Bhagavatam could be spoken for the benefit of general populace. That is the verdict of Acharyas, right? That it's an arrangement of the Lord for this thing to happen. And immediately as he left that place, he was immediately repenting. It's not that he came home and after that time he was just doing his activity. He started repenting, oh, I have done this thing. Something must have to happen. Something wrong has to happen with me, and I'm ready to receive that reaction.
Yeah. So maybe, so that realization could be, might have come because that's the moment when you are not affected by Kali.
So if we say Kali has entered into the crown of Parikshit Maharaj, right? So that seems, one, people may go with that logic also. People have all their different logics to justify certain things because people are not able to see the plan of the Lord, how the Lord manifests His plan through the devotee, in the lives of devotee, why something particular things happen.
No, yeah, because a very righteous king doing such a sinful activity, you know, putting a snake,
Right, but Acharya's explained, rather than influencing through Parikshit Maharaj, it's more through that Brahmana child that Kali Yuga brought its influence. That the
Sringi Rishi,
because he cursed, he utilized, misutilized his power to curse the king. Because Samyak Rishi himself said, what activity king has done, that is nothing compared to what you have done. So even though king made some mistake, right, he put the dead snake in my neck, but it was not to be punished that severely. And what action you have done to curse the king to die in 7 days, your activity is much more abominable. So Kali Yuga actually acted more through the action of Sringi Rishi. That's how the Brahmanas lost their power. Because Kali Yuga's influence is to destroy the Brahmanical culture. Right? That is the biggest influence of Kali Yuga, to destroy the Varnashram system, to Brahmanical culture, to the protection of the cows and the bulls. That is the culture completely destroyed.
Why should the action of one person affect the entire race?
Because the Brahmanas being influenced by their power, they are misutilizing the power. And it is not just one person. So as the whole progression continues, more and more people are taking up to that. These Brahmanas started misutilizing, they started claiming, we are the Brahmanas, everybody should fall at our feet. If we give the benediction, good will happen to you. Otherwise you are doomed to hellish things or hellish conditions. If we have our blessings on you, then you are all good. So Brahmanas started utilizing their power, keeping them higher. And they were enmical or envious towards the lower caste system, right? That this Chhuachhut principle came up. These things came up because of Brahmanas becoming pride of their strength, their powers.
We have 65 stages. For Kali to enter in action, that is Brahman.
See, the influence of Kali can spread in any way. It comes in the form of enmity, enviousness.
It's not in the five
activities. Right, it's not in the five activity which Sringi Rishi is doing directly. But it is influencing the intelligence of Sringi Rishi to act in that way. To curse, right, to start his influence. Because until Parikshit Maharaj is there, Kali Yuga cannot spread its influence. So Kali Yuga's plan is to get rid of Parikshit Maharaj so his influence can start. When the unrighteous king will be ruling, the administrators themselves become unrighteous, it will be easier to spread its influence. So his plan is to get Parikshit Maharaj out of his way.
Before Parikshit Maharaj, there are many kings, they have been many simple activities and many.
Right, and Kali Yuga, so there is a particular time. The Kali Yuga had entered during the war of Kurukshetra itself. But it was not able to spread its influence because of the rule of Yudhishthira Maharaj and then the rule of Parikshit Maharaj. So he is making the entry in to spread its influence.
Okay,
But he is not able to do that. So he is making that victim to start spreading its influence. And as he is thinking, as his movement has been restricted by Parikshit Maharaj, so he has to do something to spread the influence. And Kali Yuga's another justification was for not killing him or just restricting him was, it is the plan of Brahma. There are four yugas. Right? There are four yugas which come at a particular time. The Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is saying, it's my time now that I have to spread my influence. But Parikshit Maharaj said, as long as I am here, under my rule, you cannot spread your influence. So Parikshit, Kali is trying to get Parikshit out of his way to start spreading his influence.
The deep kida that Yudhishthir Maharaj played. So how will you interpret that? Is it the influence of Kali or Maharaj Yudhishthir, or did he just, you know?
No, that was not the influence of Kali on Maharaj Yudhishthir. It is Dyut was there earlier also. Okay, that is when the kings are challenged for the gambling match, they have to accept it as if they are challenged for the war. So that was also one of the duty of a Kshatriya. They cannot go by any challenge which is given to them, either in the form of military activity or participating in the gambling match. So Yudhishthir Maharaj came for gambling match to play in a restrictive way. But the other party was planning to do this gambling match with using all sort of cheating activities in that, right? But as your question is, was that influenced by Kali Yuga? It's not the influence of Kali Yuga. The gambling match, the Chaucer, it's the Chaucer game actually.
No, maybe the game not per se, what I'm saying, because he put everything at stake, right?
Mm-hmm.
He put even Draupadi at stake, right? So I'm talking about that part, like, you know.
So that is Lord's plan again, through them, to show how much dangerous the gambling could be. Even if somebody is playing into gambling, they have no understanding or the no intelligence left, what is the limitation, where they should restrict themselves, where they should limit themselves, and it becomes complete mess. So now also, right, people go to the bars or the, what do you call as, casinos. When somebody is into that gambling mood, they are not able to restrain themselves. They cannot come out of thinking, okay, I'm going with $100, when $100 is done, if I lose $100, I'm going to stop and come out. People, when get into once into that, they are not able to restrain. That's why there are big billboards, if you see, help with gambling, right? Do you need help with the gambling? Why? To mentor them, to guide them, okay, what should be the limit, what should be the restraint, how to restrain them, or how to come out of the debts. People take even debt to play gambling, to gamble. And this gambling is widespreading everywhere. There is everywhere, there are casinos are there, these slotting machines are there, even those lottery system, that is also gambling. And even this, as I was saying, the stock exchange business market, that is also one sort of gambling. People are putting into the stocks, thinking, okay, if I put in these stocks, my money will increase like this. And every day their consciousness is absorbed in that. Today, where should I put my money? In which stock I should invest? From where I should take and sell? So their whole consciousness become absorbed in that.
But I have a question on that piece as well. Because in this you really see, to save tax, people do investments. And all those investments, most of those investments indirectly goes to stocks, which we don't do knowingly, but unknowingly it goes to stocks to raise your profit margin.
Right.
So that's also...
So to some extent, yeah, indirectly we are engaging in that, right? People have 401k, their retirement saving plan.
Yes.
So we are putting some money, their company is putting some money, and that money we don't know how it will be utilized, where it is going.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is up to your understanding if you want to invest in stocks, and people sometimes will put it in the bonds, mutual fund, right, which is more secure way. There's not much of a gambling business in the mutual funds compared to the stocks.
Right.
Yes.
Still some part of it goes to the stocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it's up to your consciousness how much your involvement in that.
Okay.
Are you checking that on every day? See, there are people, every morning they will get up and their first activity is to log into their computer and see what is their stock value. Right? And then they will start planning, today I should take money from this stock, sell this stock and buy this stock. So we should not engage in all those sort of activities. Okay, you have put it, let it stay for long term. Right? The people have the CDs, which is a kind of what you call as a fixed deposit. So once you have put it, look, it will stay there, let it grow. If it's a fixed 1% interest, 2% interest, it will keep growing later. At least you are not in that mode of consciousness, everyday thinking, is it increasing, is it becoming more or it is depreciating, how is it going?
But how does it affect truthfulness? Like, I understand stock, I take it as a math. I make predictions, I understand demand and supply for certain stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I invest in those stocks. How is it affecting some others, people's truthfulness or the pillar of truthfulness?
Because when we engage in sort of gambling or the speculating thing, people are prone to lie to make money. You at your level, you are just selling and buying the stocks, but the person who is handling that, right, the stock, they will be speaking the lies, oh, this stock is depreciating the value, so you need to sell that, and you need to buy this one. So are you thinking that person is telling you all the inner details of that thing?
No,
but right?
What if just I do it, that's it. There is no in-between person.
The other indirect principle in that is, the gambling thing, it increases our mode of passion and the greed. Right, the greed part is definitely increasing because that is person is influenced by greed to make more and more money by using shortcuts. That is why somebody will take to the stock market as his main occupation thing or risking his hard-earned money in that. So that is greed. And as we are more influenced by greed, we are prone to commit all other activities also. Because under the influence of greed, people will take to lying, people will take to stealing, people will take to enviousness, enmity. Somebody is gaining more than us, people are always becoming envious. You agree with that part? So, either it's directly related or indirectly related to influence the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Yes, Prabhu?
There are no brahmanas in Kali Yuga, right?
In Kali Yuga, the statement is mostly everybody is at the level of Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everybody is at the level of Shudra. Somebody is considering himself Brahmana, but all the Brahminical culture is lost. Right? We are in the process of bringing people to the level of Brahmanas. Right? People come to the level of Brahmana to bring up that Brahminical culture, because otherwise people who consider themselves as Brahmana by the sake of birth, even they are committing all sort of those activities. The children of Brahmana, they are taking to intoxication, they are taking to illicit relation, they are taking to gambling, they are taking to meat eating, and they are not doing their Brahminical activities. They are doing the activities of a Shudra, doing the menial jobs, right, working for somebody, not doing the Brahminical activities of waking up in the morning, doing the Homa, doing the Gayatri. All those activities are lost.
So why this kind is there a second initiation known as Brahman initiation?
So second initiation, which we call as Brahminical initiation, this is more to continue with the deity worship process, right? And to bring people to that level of Brahmana. It's not by birth. It's not given as by birthright that somebody is a Brahmana. Somebody can be trained to take up the Brahminical activities. So that this whole Varnashrama system, the whole Brahminical system can be maintained. But it is not necessary for our going back to Godhead. If somebody take for the Harinam Diksha and take to this process of chanting the holy name, that is enough for one to go back to Godhead.
Thank you.
any other question, comment, or we'll stop here. Hey, once again, thank you very much. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.